2 days of creation. I'm going to read it from the story, but you can also find this on page one of the Pew Bible. Listen now for a word from God. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. To start today, I'd like to show you a clip from the film The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Thank you.
So that's from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, a book some of us have maybe read and a movie maybe a few of us have seen. If you forget a little bit, I can set that up for you, that they're all playing hide-and-go-seek in the house because, can you imagine, it's raining in England. Who would have thought? So they're playing in the house, and Lucy, the little one, is going to hide, and so she goes into this room, and she sees what she sees, and she pulls down the sheet, and it's the great wardrobe, and she opens it up, and what is it that rolls across the floor?
Mothballs.
Mothballs, right? Please explain to your children what those are, or your grandchildren, that they're not marbles, that you shouldn't put them in your mouth. Okay. Not that that's happened to me, but I just think that's important to know. I imagine there's lots of people that have seen that movie. They're like, why were there marbles in the wardrobe? She gets in. She kind of backs up. And this is the great thing that Lewis does. I mean, the fur coats become fur trees. And she's in a completely different world. And Lucy has to figure out what's going on. She's presented with an entirely different reality from the one she's used to. And she's got to figure out how it works. And she needs to figure it out as fast as she can. I think this was C.S. Lewis's way of communicating what he thought about the scriptures. That as we engage in the story, we open it up, we get inside it, we realize it's completely different than anything we've ever come into contact with before. It's a reality that is as true or more true than ours. And we have to figure out, what story is this? What's going on? To whom is this story given? How does it work? What are we supposed to understand about this? We bring our own questions to the story, and we find that it instead has questions for us to answer. And so today, when we grapple with our passages from Genesis, what I think we realize is that this is our story that we're reading. This is a story about us. It's a story about humanity or humankind, or if you like to use the word man, you could say that. It's about mankind, humanity, and what we're like, what it is to be human. It says that we're created in the image and likeness of God, that God, this three-person, three-entity God, God that was before the beginning, and God, the wind that hovers over the waters, and God, the word that's spoken, this God created us in, quote, our image and likeness. And we've got to figure out what that means. What does it mean to be created in the image and likeness of God? Well, it means a lot of things, but it probably means at least four things. The first is that to be created in the image and likeness of God means that we are orderly. We're orderly people. We're created in the image of a God that created order out of chaos, that separated the day and the night, that had the cattle and the creeping animals that creep across the face of the earth, and the fish and the birds. God created all this order out of chaos. And so we, too, are orderly people. We're sort of rule-oriented, aren't we? We like lists. We like lists of lists. We like to separate the laundry, the colors and the whites. And every now and then there's a garment that says, delicate cycle, wash separately cold water. And something in us rejoices that we can move that apart from the rest. We can separate it all. The scriptures say that God said to us that we were to have dominion, or the New International Version says we're to rule. We're to rule over certain aspects of creation. So we're called to be shepherds or stewards. We're called to have some amount of control and power and dominion over things. We're called to create order if there isn't order. I'm not sure how long it took Adam to put fences in the Garden of Eden, but I imagine he was very delighted at the opportunity of building fences and sort of separating things out and demarcating and probably drawing maps. We like all that stuff. There's a book that I grabbed this morning, The Intimate Merton, about Thomas Merton. This is a compendium of all his journals. And I noticed that the Library of Congress number is BX4705.M542A3-1999. If you go to any library in the United States, that uses the Library of Congress order, and they have this book. It's hanging out with all its friends in BX4705. It's in the front. Also, the Dewey Decimal Number is in there too. But we love order. We like to set things up and alphabetize and categorize, organize. That's who we are. We're created in the image and likeness of God, and that means we're orderly. That's one thing. But that's not enough. It's not enough to just be orderly, to have robots. That's not who we are totally, because we're also created to be creative. Being created in the image and likeness of God means that you and I are creative. We're creative people. The other animals were told to be fruitful, and so were we. But the difference is that our fruition, the birth that we engage in, isn't just actual birth of children, but it's also the birth of ideas, the birth of expressions, creativity, of dance, of song, of paintings. That's who it is to be us. We're creative. We have silly hats. We have bow ties made of wood. Yes, that's right. The staff got me this when I first came here. Go to the grocery store, not right now, go to the grocery store to buy salsa. Salsa. It used to be easy. You bought the one salsa. I went the other day. There are thousands of salsas. I need a special person to be with me to help me. I didn't know that there was mild and medium. I didn't know corn was an option or black bean was available to me. Who has been putting mango in the salsa? There's all these kinds of salsas, a near infinite amount, because we're creative. We keep thinking of things we can do. John Coltrane wrote a song called NEMA when he was on a record label. He signed to a new record label. The first record label wouldn't let him play it. He just started playing it backwards. I don't know that they ever figured it out. Now, all the people wrote in the liner notes, this is NEMA, but he plays it backwards. Try to listen and figure it out. Amazing. It's our creativity. We're creative people because we're created in the image and likeness of the creative God who created everything out of nothing. So that's kind of who we are. There's another piece. We are created in the image and likeness of God to be free. We're free. We have free will, and we can make choices. So you remember, as soon as we realize this, we sort of get into a little trouble. I liked what it said. It says, God says, the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Now, how many of you, when you read that, by a show of hands, how many of you, when you read that again, sort of felt like God was setting the man up for failure? Did you feel like that? Did that thought even cross your mind, and you thought, that's not a good thought, put that away. But that's sort of how it feels, doesn't it? It's sort of, one theologian in the second century, I mean, he learned from someone who learned from the apostles, St. Irenaeus of Lyon. He said that man and woman in the garden were not man and woman at all. They were like children. They were innocent. They had never made a decision before. They were new at this. Their capacities weren't yet developed. And so when they were forced to make a choice, of course they made a bad choice. They had to develop and learn how to make good decisions and learn what it meant to be free in a little bit of the way that God is free. I sort of imagine an 80s movie, an 80s coming-of-age comedy where God the Father says to Adam and Eve, now the Spirit and the Son and I are going to go off for the weekend. Then God the Father slides an envelope of cash across the table. This is your money for the weekend. For food, you guys, no parties. And then God the Father goes off with God the Son and God the Spirit to reconnect. And then Adam and Eve look at each other and they start to, he said, no parties. Then that's when the slinky neighbor kid comes over. Hey guys, what are you doing? God the Father said, no parties. Well,
Did he say no parties? What about get-togethers? Did he say anything about get-togethers?
And the wheels are turning. And you know how the movie goes. It goes real bad. Well, that's about learning how to make choices. Learning how to do what Paul Tillich says, which is to weigh everything and to be like a surgeon and cut through and make a decision. That's part of what it means to be created in the image and likeness of God. We have free will. We can make choices. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not so good. So that's the third aspect of being created in the image and likeness of God. The fourth one is that you and I have been created in the image and likeness of God to name and to bless things. We have this ability to speak things into existence, just like God did. God called things sky, seas. He named all sorts of things. And maybe this week you read the winsome passage from chapter 2 of Genesis. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. This is part of us sharing in creation with God, that we can name things. We can use our language to name things. And part of the free will aspect means that we can bless, or as St. James says, we can curse. Fresh water can flow out of our mouths, or brackish water, right? We have this ability to say something to someone, and it is like handing them a loaf of bread fresh out of the oven, so warm you can see the steam off of it. It's so life-giving what we've just said. And we can also say something else that's like a steaming pile, right? We can say something that's so awful to someone that cuts them to the quick and diminishes them. They look smaller after we say it. We have that ability to use our speech for good or for evil, to say things and have them come to be. This is part of what it means to be created in the image and likeness of God. And so we can take that power to name and to bless and add the others to it. Add to it our orderliness. Add to it our freedom. Add to it our creativity. And what we find is that you and I have the ability to tell stories. We have the ability to share our story with one another. We are storytelling creatures. We're built for that. We write biographies and autobiographies and histories. And we write pieces of fiction that are not fiction at all, but we have to say that they're fiction or else we'll get sued. We are narrative creatures living a narrative existence. Try coming back from the grocery store and not telling a story about what happened, with a beginning and a middle and a twist at the end. That's who we are. And so as we tell our story, we want to remember and tell ourselves that we are created in the image and likeness of God. And so is everybody else. Everybody you see today, created in the image and likeness of God. They're orderly, they're creative, they're free. And they're the last thing that I forget right now. But they're all those things, right? It's so funny. I grabbed this book today. I didn't mean to grab it to show you about the Library of Congress, but I was just remembering that Thomas Merton had this amazing experience in Louisville on the corner of 4th and Walnut. And he writes about it in his journal. He said, "Yesterday in Louisville, at the corner of 4th and Walnut, suddenly I realized that I loved all the people around me and that none of them were or could be totally alien from me. As if waking from a dream, the dream of my separateness, of the special vocation to be different. My vocation doesn't really make me different from the rest of men or put me in a special category except artificially. I'm still a member of the human race, and what more glorious destiny is there for man? Since the Word was made flesh and became too a member of the human race. Merton had this moment, this theophany, where he realized that everyone around him was created in the image of God, just like him, and he could never be separate from any of those people. As we get into the story, and as we continue to read it, I hope you'll have moments like that, moments of connection, moments of recognizing your own humanity, and moments of sensing that God is drawing you beyond that to become fully human, as the second Adam was, as our Lord Jesus Christ was, fully obedient, able to be orderly, and to be free, and to be creative, and the last thing that I keep forgetting. All right, let's pray. Holy God, we give you thanks and praise. Thank you for all the ways that you create us in your image. Help us this week as we see people around us. Help us to see that they are created in your image as well. Help us to know that there's no separation between us. Help us to reach out. If you're drawing us out of ourselves, help us to reach out to them and to share the good news of the gospel, that they're created in your image with a mind to know you, a heart to love you, and an energy to serve you. We ask it all in your precious name. Amen.